Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Drum. You
standing, you know, and checking out the heat alert you know, all across the country. Whoops, excuse me, I kind of got cleared my throat a little. And then sometimes when we're getting ready to tell a bullshit story, we clear our throat. So I'm ready for another night of BS. Nah, just jiving. We're the only ones to tell the truth around here, by the way, for you to know. We're having a big heat alert across the country, and you know that it's the truth. We've been so hot, and it's been, see, how do I forget such simple stuff like a damp kind of heat, you know? It's kind of a wet heat, you know? See, how do I forget stuff like that? Anyway, it's been that kind of heat, you know? And a lot of it is due to the Earth's axis is tilting, you know? So we can kind of go off into that in a bit too, you know? The other thing I wanted to touch base with was, you know, the Custer, aftermath of Custer, and how our people, you know, like, of course, everybody is all proud of Custer's defeat, but how we weren't there. Our ancestors were. They did it. They did this, you know, and that gave us pride. But, you know, just we ain't supposed to be letting them do the work, and we sit around and be all proud while we're out here wearing pants below the butt cheek and talking like black people and acting like white people and Christianity and all this stuff, you know. So, you know, you want to be proud about Custer, let me see you act, present, make our ancestors proud, because they watch us, you know. And so we'll get back on that, because, you know, we represent our people. It's just like all these cultures, they do wicked stuff out there, and it represents their culture, you know. All the stuff they do. It's a shame how people do stuff. They represent their family, their culture, and everything, but they run around, you know, looking stupid, acting stupid, and everything. So anyway, looks like another night of griping, huh? Let me see. I was looking at, you know, I was over there on Facebook checking out a lot of people that are friends on Facebook and all that. And man, you know, it's a trip how a lot of, are they just putting on a show or what, you know? Indians on Facebook, flashing their swimming pools, their wealth, you know, and the things they worry about, like, what advice would you give to the person that is dating your ex? What the hell do we care? You know, why should we worry about who's dating our ex, you know? I mean, that's the weird stuff that you see, you know? Indians just off into some stuff and liking to show off like they're rich, and at the same time gripe about how bad they're doing, you know? You know, they're showing off all their travels, all their all the stuff they do, you know? And yeah, that's all right. You know, it's good to be proud and show that you're having a better time than you know, than you had before, you know. And it's good to go out. Like, I went out and went fishing, you know. Sometimes we go out and do things out of the ordinary, but, man, some people, every 5 minutes, yeah, I'm at Minneapolis Airport. Next day, I'm going over here. Next day, I'm going over there. Next day, they're taking selfies with, you know, this and that. I'm over here. I'm over there. You know, I understand we need to show that we're not all the way tore up. I see that, you know. But man, we also have to remember that there's a lot of our people going through hard times right now. A lot of elderly, you know, sick, can't even make it to a hospital. A lot of stuff like that. So just wanted to mention that, you know. And, you know, that Supreme Court, another thing is the Supreme Court. You guys act like that is your court, the Supreme Court. That's just the Washichu Court. They ain't got no business over here. But they're over here. The Washichu makes all these claims, you know. Just like they're once again talking about giving black people money in California and how they deserve it and all that. Yeah, they deserve it, you know. And they call them. Black Americans or Afro-Americans. Remember, they're not Americans. There's no such thing as America. They're either Africans, Europeans, Italians. They're, you know, even to call somebody Mexican is something, you know, because they have their own tribes, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to get on them because, you know, I honor the Mexican people, you know, for their way of life and, you know, Mexican food and the how they live, you know, rancheras, boleros, you know, Salina, all this stuff, you know. I mean, it's good, but a lot of them think that is their race. It's not. They have tribes too, you know. And I got into it with a Washichu. He was, you know, calling us Native Americans and calling blacks. I said, you know what? I told him just what I said right now. There's no such thing because I'm Lakota. He's Apache. She's Chippewa. They're Pima, and I went on, you know. I said, none of us are Americans, so get that out of your head right now, because we were here, created here. You guys made up that stupid name, 246 years ago, you know. 246 years you made up that name and you're all proud of that? How? You know? What a bunch of phonies you are. Anyway, we'll get up into some of that stuff, you know, and just point is be proud of your own tribe, your own color skin. And you know, this guy was saying, well, you talk English, you know. Yeah, I know I do. You know, but just because I talk English, I don't run around and say, hey, it's my language, yes, you know. I said, English ain't my language, and Spanish ain't your language. So quit running, hey, I'm going to talk my language, yes, you know. How with that? You want to talk your language, let me hear you talk Yaqui or talk one of your other tribes, you know, down there. Don't come up, oh, how do they talk my language? They say, you know, I understand that's a language that was bestowed upon you. But it's not your language, and it's nothing to fight over. It's just like we're talking English right now doing this radio show. And I know Tanashi Vember, if he had, well, it was up to him, we'd be doing this whole show in Lakota, period. But we can't do that. It's modern times, and our indigenous relatives around this country, you know, it's not their fault. It's not our fault if we speak English, or we lost culture, or we lost the prayer, or lost something, you know? And that's why we have people like Tahushi here and other indigenous people that maintain what they have from their culture. They're fortunate, you know. They're not trying to act better than us, but they're helping us remember, helping us to remember we have our own way. We have our own culture. And when we pray in Lakota, like on the radio here, it's not to show off. He's praying for the people, for health and everything, you know. And he's also letting the world know who's listening to us. This is a real indigenous native talk show. Real. None of that. Oh, I'm going to AIM show, but let's talk about our families today. Let's talk about cannabis. You know, what's wrong with these Indians trying to sound like white when they talk? My family. You know? That ain't us. All right, hey, y'all. Hey, y'all, what y'all doing? You know, that ain't us. You know? Sure, we're talking English, but we don't need to imitate those people, even my people. You know, we're Lakota, talk English, but at least we got our own accent to it, you know? Hey, I'm going to Japan, you know? And you look agale, you know? Anyway, let me get down to the nitty-gritty here because I'm getting carried away and fired up once again like I start doing it. And then what, you know? Then we got everybody upset. But I want to give a shout-out to all our people that are tuned in around the world and in this country. I've been noticing we've been having more new listeners, you know. They don't talk, you know, but I see them, you know, and they listen. And I figure they're other Native Indigenous relatives because they ain't cussing us out. Well, that's why she too, they cuss us out, you know. But so I'm thinking they must be people that respect the culture, or even other countries when they call in, they are listen to us. They don't get on. Hey, you're liars! You're rah rah rah! You know, you f word this, f word that. You know, that's the first thing those Washichus do when you let them go. If you let them go, man, they get vulgar and wicked. So anyway, let me see what's going on here. Hey, you hear me? What's going on here? You know, dang, what's wrong with me?
Don't come home.
What's going on in here?
Don't come home. We're listening to you here.
Are you hearing me say it? Why go here? You know.
Yeah. It's all about. You're talking about your family.
My family. You know. And then I'm destroying the hell out of that English language. You know. You know.
There you go.
Those Washichu, they're really agale. Agale. You know?
Agale. Agale.
They're
ugly.
They're ugly. Lila ugly. You know, they can't help it how they turned out when they were in the line to get passed out gifts of the cultures. Like us, we were gifted with our skin color, our lustrous hair, you know, our extremely handsome and beautiful faces, you know. They missed out on the hairline and the color line. I don't know where the hell they went. You know,
they got no brains.
They must have hid under. They must have been under a rock someplace because they never got no sun. They showed up, you know. So it's not their fault, you know. So anyway, go ahead, Toshi. Let you go right now. Get us going right.
Oh, let's say a prayer and we'll get started. We'll get on the road here. Well, Tunkasha, I tell you, I can't help it. You pick a lemon, I can't. Yaka, he punk Tunkasha, Lena. Whoop, you got Tunka Hedge. Now they don't bet you Tunkasha, you don't kill what kind of Lana. Walk on that Tunkasha. Now to take the Tunkasha.
And we appreciate Lila Wopila Tanka, the prayers. Well, Czechia, for the people, you know, prayers.
You know,
really Tushy, important for.
You know, yeah. Tushy, you were talking about this English language, how these, you know, and all these people saying, oh, you should speak the English, you know, when they hear somebody talking Mexican or Lakota or something, speak English, you know. The thing about it is, that's a bastard language, like I always say. It doesn't belong here. Where's the American language? There is no such thing. Juanita, you know?
Yeah.
And like Lakota, there's some people back home. These people that hated on Indians, and didn't want to be Indian, shortened their names, and took Washichusana names and stuff. Now all of a sudden, there's Mozeska involved, so there's even some Washichu saying that they have a patent on the Lakota language. You know, who in the heck authorized those people to do things like this? See, only a Washichu thinker does that. The Lakota language was a verbal language. They never wrote it down. It was never written. In L and D, Lakotas will all tell you there was different dialects, but yet we could understand each other perfectly when we talked. Even though they spoke, some spoke with the D, some with the N, some with the L. That language belongs to the Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota Yat. So whoever is trying to put a patent on it is nuts. The money that's involved now, that's starting to get involved in it, is driving a lot of people nuts. You know, and all these people that didn't want to be Indian at one time are the head of this. All these people that hated on us, called us names, even back in American Indian Movement days when it first started, spit on us, threw rocks at us, called us every name in a book. Now they're the ones that are in charge yet, giving out patents for language that don't even belong to them. These Washichu are pure nuts. Now they're fighting over this language back home. Instead of trying to keep it alive, to preserve it, like Tanshi said, We were forced. They beat us. They tortured us to learn this English language. And some of us hung on to it. We wouldn't let them beat it out of us. And a lot of them, they gave into it. But yet, these people that are arguing today are the ones that helped beat it into us, beat this bastard English language into us. And now they're the experts. You know, how do you patent something that was never written? You know, that I don't get it. That's like Harley Davidson when he tried to patent the sound of a Harley Davidson. He got laughed out of the courtroom because you can't patent sound. That's similar to this one. It's a spoken language. It's a verbal language. That's why we had winner counts. And yet these Washitus now, these Washitu thinkers are trying to say, oh, we own the language. No, you don't. We all own it. LD and N speakers, we own this. That collectively, we own it. It's we. It's not I. No individual could put a patent on something like that. But yet now, while the Lakotas are doing this, the Washitu sitting out there laughing at us because now they're winning again. They're still trying to get rid of our language by doing this. And these and our very own people are involved in this. Instead of letting these speakers, the ones that we have left, speak and teach, they're arguing that, oh, they're doing it all wrong, or they can't do that because we got a patent on it. You know, it's shameful as hell, Kanshi. How far we've come. How much Washitu we have in our brains. You know, to me, that's shameful. We're losing our language, but yet you have these guys fighting over it in court and whatever else, trying to prove that they own something that don't even belong to them. That's how far we've come as Lakota people. You know, I've never heard of Navajo language being patented. I've never heard of any of these. Why are they doing that to us? Our own people are doing this. And they have no shame, Tanshi. It bothers me. That Washitu mentality, like you were saying, you went to this little bighorn celebration, there's American flags hanging all around. That's shameful as hell. What happened to the Hokaza? What happened to the Wapaha, the ones that the so-called flag song that sings about? They sing about that. What happened to those? What happened to those eagle feathers? A piece of rag hanging there doesn't represent me. But yet these people stab American, dancing around, parading around with some clown uniforms on, saying, oh, I'm a veteran. You know, think about it. Our ancestors got slaughtered, Wounded Knee, all these places, Sand Creek. Think about this. That flag that you guys are hanging up, that's who slaughtered us. And yet you're proud of that? And they're still doing it. And yet, our very own so-called tribal leaders are so goddamn gutless. Excuse the language. But they're gutless. And then they call themselves leaders. We're a council. Shit, that's, to me, it's shameful, real shameful. Councils are shameful goddamn thing. I don't know why anybody would want to run for it. They don't represent us.
Hey, you can say goddamn here. Hey, you can say goddamn here. Just don't say that. Just don't say the F word, but you can
okay,
say God, damn.
Alrighty. But anyway, but you know, this is what's happening, Tanshi. And this is what these guys are doing. The younger generation is doing this. The Lakota speakers are dying out. The Lakota, Dakota speakers are dying out. And yet you have these fools trying to put a patent on something that's spoken. It's a verbal language. How can you do that? I mean, our people are sick, Hoshi. And it's getting worse. And there's no shame. I don't know why. Like you were saying, that power, all these flags hanging up, Washitu flags, American flags. You know, our Tunkashlas at the Little Bighorn wiped out a man that was evil. evil person, pure evil against Native Americans or so-called Lakota people. And yet they're hanging his flag up. And then they say, oh, we want it. You know, if anything else, those should be laying on the ground. They should be dancing on them, pissing on them, shitting on them.
You know, to honest you,
yeah.
When I was there, you know, they were doing the flag song. And when they did the flag song, these Lakotas, no one had a wapaha on. But they had, you know, the head guy had one of those soft jungle hat. Looks like a Gilligan Islands hat, but it's camouflage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember? And it comes down. He had that in his hand with a feather on it, and he was dancing around the circle wearing, you know, veteran, like, military stuff. And the other guys were running, wearing those caps. What does my brother call them? Kunk caps? I forget what you call them in the military. The garrison? No.
Yeah, garrison. Garrison caps.
They look like little canoes on the top of your head, you know. They were wearing that. Those Indians were wearing that out there at this celebration, you know. And every pole in the arbor, every pole had an American flag in it. You know, that's what that battle was about, Little Bighorn. That was about taking that flag down, not putting it up.
Yep.
Our ancestors took that flag down. That wasn't meant for our people to put it back up. Kind of mentality is that? They say, oh, well, we took that flag. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know? They fought and took that flag down. Stomped it. So what the hell are people putting them back up for? Why is it at every powwow? I went to a powwow in New York, and they did the grand entry and seen all these different tribes dancing. A lot of them were their other tribes, but they you know, and I'm proud of it. They imitate and are – could say copy Lakota. Anyway, they went in, and when they finally got up out there, they have a big kind of a landfill stage, but it's designed, you know, it's got dirt and grass up there, homemade or whatever you call it. And they got up there, and then they sent the guy out there to do the prayer. So everybody stood up, and he did the Lord's Prayer.
God damn.
And I said, wow, man, you know? I mean, it was looking good for a minute there. The Aztecas came in, and, you know, I watched that, and you know how the Aztecas come in, like the snake dance, and then the other tribes, and you see some pride, and they got up there and here. Then everybody took their hats off and did the Lord's Prayer.
Damn, man.
You know, I mean, you know, I have nothing against other people's prayers. I mean, but you know, this is an indigenous culture we have here, this powwow, and our people were the first ones to ever do a powwow. You know, like they said, the powwow here in Rosebud was one of the first ones. It's like, what? It was 147 years old. Yeah. You know, 147 years old, the Rosebud powwow. And you know, they did that right after Little Bighorn. So.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's that old, so what the hell is the Lord's Prayer got to do in it, you know?
Yep.
What the hell?
Yep.
You know, this is meant to represent us. And if you can't, if you can't pray in your own language, okay, I understand that. But can't you just say a prayer without being the Lord's prayer?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just go up there and say, you know, whatever your tribe calls God, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for our people. Thank you for our house. Thank you. You know, you can say that in English, but damn, why go up there and do the Lord's Prayer to start off a powwow? You know, I mean, in a lot of these, you know, you go to these big powwows, down Santa Fe, down, what do you call, what do they do? Man, they come in marching in, dressed military, American flags, and looking all proud because they fought for the white man. You know, come in, yeah, I fought, I was in the war, man, I fought for the white man, you know. I mean, yeah, everybody, all of us were in the military, all of, you know, we all went through that. But that's gone. It's over with. We're here to preserve our own culture. Let me, you know, in our own goddamn way, you know? You know, we're here to preserve our own culture. We're not here to preserve nobody else's culture. We're here to preserve our culture, our people's culture, our way of life. I have nothing against, you know? If you want to go to a rodeo and go over there and do Star Spangled Banner over there while she chew or ha sapa or whatever, I don't care what they do. But we're talking about Native, Indigenous celebrations, traditional Native celebrations. And then, like we always say, it always come turns into Mazel Ska. So Mazel Ska has a lot to do with why these veterans go and doing that, because the Veterans Administration, they give they pay for this. They, if you're gonna do a powwow and you ask the veterans for help, they'll help you as long as you know what to do. You know, you better show up marching in. You know, you better come in with their Atkins guns and Gatling guns too, since that's what they used to murder our people with. Might as well come marching in with them, you know, represent that, you know. But I have nothing about how other cultures do their things, you know. But man, at least have some honor and respect when we do our people's powwows and even Sundances and everything, you know. Remember what our people fought and died for, you know. And like the English language, yeah, the Americans don't even own that language. That language comes from England, so I don't know what the hell they're talking about, you know. You know, that's why I said it's all right to say damn, you know. You know, but, you know, I just, you know, some things don't represent us too well. I don't like our people using the middle finger either, because, especially women, because that middle finger stands for a pecker and two nuts when you put your finger like that. You know, that's what it stands for. You know, so it doesn't look good for see our women doing that, especially our older women. Like nowadays, we used to have the unchi, the older women, and they were always so modest and respectful and beautiful. You know, when they show up, you just automatically humble yourself when you see the unchi come in. And ceremonies, when the unchi sits down, when they come, you automatically just feel, wow, there's grandma, and you humble up. But how do you humble up to what you see now? Another thing, some, you know, Indian women running the show with blonde hair, with nose and lip piercings, and having spandex on tighter than hell, so tight, and then nobody to show it. When it got to the belly, it went out like an inner tube, looked like inner tubes wrapped around, you know? I mean, you know, what the hell is going on here? Our own cheese. I always think of my mother, and I remember your mother too, Tanshi. All our mothers, you know, they were, it almost looks like we were lucky to have our moms, because nowadays the mothers lost it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The mothers lost it. Yeah. The grandma's showing up with piercings on. I see this lady come out of the store, old as hell, showing her belly to show off her piercing. But, man, you could barely see it because it was tucked into some of those, what do you call those, zebra stripes?
Hoopla.
Anyway, stuck in there, you know.
What is it called?
I'm not trying to make fun of our women either. I'm just saying, you know, they're, what it is they're making fun of our way of life when they deny it, when they deny our culture, you know. And so,
you know,
I understand it's modern times, but my mom would have never put an ear piercing on, or, I mean, nose piercing.
You know, Tershi, this our mothers, the modesty that they carried, we talked about this, the dresses they wore came way down by their ankles. They were real modest women.
Yeah.
And they portrayed
made them themselves.
Yeah, and they carried themselves with such pride. But yet you see these women today, like you was talking about, all the spandex and, you know, showing that, you know, man, you know, it's, to me, it's gotten way far. Then if you say something, if you try to bring it up that, you know, because it's shameful, they attack you. They attack you and they say, oh, you're back in the wagon days, or they start saying things to you that, you know, and then they get all these people involved instead of looking at what is happening to our people. Like you were saying, our culture, it's getting destroyed by people like that. See, like at the Sundance that me and you used to go to, Tanshi, think about it. What did they make these women do when they were going to come in, when they were dressed something like that? What did they tell them? Get a dress on or cover up. You know, that's not right. You don't you don't use those here. You put a dress on. You're a woman. We need a lo iglu oni hayo. You know,
put a shawl.
Yeah, and you know that at something sacred as the Sundance, when these elders are speaking and they're telling you something, it should. All these young ladies there should listen to that. But they don't, see? That's the problem. And it goes to what you were saying. An arena director, a lady, using all this stuff, you know, roll, show, and, I mean, you know, camel toe and all this other stuff, you know. But, you know, why? Our grandmas never were like that. They were real modest women. Our women were some of the biggest leaders of our families. They were the heads of these families. And the man, all the man did was supply the family. The mother, the weah, that's why they call them weah. You know, we, the son, something sacred, yah. Think about those things. You know, why are they the way they are today? They say, oh, today is modern times. Does that mean that you could go around damn near naked or showing everything off? You don't leave no imagination for these men or anybody to look at. You're just showing it all off. You know, why? Modesty of our women is disappeared. And what does that say in country? as the women go, so do the men. But these women got to start thinking about that, you know. And we tell people things. We say things to these. I don't say it to be mean. I say it because I'm ashamed of it. It's not me doing it. But since I'm a Lakota and I was raised Lakota, things like that shame me out. It's shameful to me because I was raised Lakota. I was raised tradition. So things like that shame me out. I don't like seeing stuff like that. I don't know why these modern day so-called, they say, oh, well, you're back, you know. No. How, my mother passed away not too long ago. So when they say, oh, you're back in the olden days. No, my mother was modest. She carried herself modestly. And yet, our women of today, look at how they are. And like Tanshi said, directing an arena with all this tight stuff and, you know, what are you trying to, what are you telling people? What are you doing out there directing in an arena just like that? Think about our culture. Represent in a real nice way. Live a real nice way. Not a Washichu way. We are not Washichu. We will never be accepted as Washichu. I keep saying that. I don't know why these Lakota people don't understand that. Like he was saying, there's flags all over. That's what is trying to destroy us today. But yet they're so proud of it. You know, we have never received an apology from anybody. There's a half-assed apology from Obama or somebody. I don't know who the hell it was. We've never been given anything by these thieves. And yet they have all these so-called Ten Commandments. What is it? Thou shalt not steal? And yet they're walking on stolen land and they're sure damn proud of it. Then when you question them on, oh, that's ours. No, it's not yours. It never was. You floated in on a ship. Now the wealth you have came from us, what belonged to us. And they've never acknowledged that either. Look at all these schools where they buried these little kids. Even the church, oh, they're God-fearing people. They've never apologized to the Indian people of any way. They don't even want to take that doctrine of discovery and change the wording in it, get rid of it. They've never done anything. But yet you have these people, oh, this is modern times. You know, our culture, our way of life still exists. There's a Tachanupa there. It's still alive and well. But yet look at our people. That's why I say it's shameful when you do things like that. Like these guys parading around with these so-called, what Tanshi say, cunt caps and stuff. Whatever happened to the feathered and the hair? Whatever happened to that? Wahukaza, whatever happened to that? The guy that used to come in first, he carried that Wahukaza, and the guy beside him, Wapaha. Whatever happened to those? We didn't carry flags. Then when somebody was out there doing that, praying around, when they told their story, they had a giveaway because that's what they call Wakstogalake. They had giveaways for that. Nobody ever paraded around showing off this stuff like what they're doing today. Shameful. But yet we've gone, I mean, then some people say, I went to a powwow, so I'm traditional. That, oh man. I don't know about that, Tanshi. Just because you go to powwow means you're traditional, you know? It's crazy.
Wow. Most of them, that's as traditional as they can get. That's why they even, you know, they go to powwows and they pay big money to have a big fancy naming ceremony in front of everybody at the powwow. Some people choose to have a hunka ceremony at a powwow so everybody can look and pay all this money. I see that happening because I remember a family member wanted to have a hunka ceremony. So we're going to say, you know, go to the Medicine Man. And here, no, we're going to do it in Pine Ridge at the Pine Ridge Fair.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay. You know, I said,
yeah.
Wow, man, all right, okay. So to me, yeah, they had a ceremony. They got a name and all that. But I don't, it's hard for me to recognize that, you know, recognize something like that, you know. That's like going and having a hookah ceremony in Walmart. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you know, what's that for, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but you see, we're having troubles in our times, in these modern times, we're having troubles. And that's why the earth and everything that's going on is suffering from this. I was reading about how the scientists are wondering why the earth is tilting, you know, it's moving. And the North Pole isn't where it used to be, or the axis ain't where it used to be. I don't know all this science stuff, but I do know, like, long time ago, the natives from up north, they were already saying that. Because they can tell. They can tell up there because that North Pole sits there, and they had the winters and everything. They were set up with different times of the year to have certain ceremonies, you know, even with the whales and seals and all that. Now it's different, you know. But I remember a long time ago in ceremony, they were talking about this. And the scientists, you know, I was reading about them, they're talking about how the earth, and we've been talking about this all the time, you know, on the show. We're talking about how they take the coal out, keep taking it, digging in, keep taking it, keep taking it. Keep taking it. Millions of tons of coal. I mean, you go there on Highway 20 out of Lusk, Wyoming, you'll see trains hauling coal. I mean, hundreds of cars hauling coal all day long, taking it to New York and Chicago and big cities, shipping this coal out from our lands. This is our lands. Now, just imagine taking out 1,000 trainloads of coal a day. The hole that would make, and how deep they have to go to do that. But this happens every day, every week. So the earth is collapsing from the inside, and they said the aquifer, they're stealing so much water from the aquifer that the earth is caving in all over, you know. And that's why they're having earthquakes in different places. And they're not really earthquakes. Yeah, no, those sinkholes and all that, you know. And the earth is caving in. And from the earth caving in so much, it's starting to get a difference. Hold on now. It's starting to get a different shape. The earth is getting a different shape. You know, pretty soon we're going to look like a big res bomb in outer space, you know. The earth isn't going to be, you know, round and beautiful. It'll look like a res bomb of the galaxy because it's going to be shaped like an asteroid, looking like a hammer or something, you know, because it's caving in. And when it caving in, it don't spin properly. It's spinning, you know, like something that's off center, you know, like a, what do you call them? Like a cam? When you put a cam in a car, how it, wow, wow, wow. You know, this earth is starting to be that way. And first, they, you know, say, oh, that ain't going to happen for a million years. But it nope. changed in just since the Washitu showed up in our country. You see, when they came here and landed and took over this country, that was the beginning of the end
yep.
for mankind when they came here. Because they started destroying the whole way that Wakantanka expected this earth to be, Uchimaka. He made it a way to be beautiful. And here they are. It was never meant to be taken billions and billions of tons of coal off the center of the earth and all the aquifers, because
yeah.
it's we've been having so many droughts all over the world. How is that water replacing the aquifers? Because water, most countries all over the world, they get their water from under the ground, sometimes 100 feet, sometimes 50 feet. Well, now there's places they can't even find it. You know, so it's getting, you know, the scientists are finally saying, you know what, oh, we got to stop this. We got to stop it. Well, it's like stopping gun violence. You ain't never going to stop it. You want to stop gun violence, then you got to pack up them Americans and Europeans and get them out of here, because guns comes from them. All these gun violence comes from them, but they're in denial of it, because like right now they had on the news how that guy who killed those five Hondurans in Texas, that Mexican, he killed five Hondurans, and right away all the white people are saying, yeah, he's here because of the border, he was kicked out of here, rah rah rah. They blame everything on that, but they ignore the fact that just last week, one of them murdered three of his own sons in Tennessee. His own sons made him stand up and blasted him. And that one, Washitu, that killed five people in Colorado. I mean, just in the last month, those people, those invasive species, murdered like 200 people. And they don't just murder. Along with their murders, like the one they call the Delphi case, the guy killed the women. What does he do? They rape them too. So they ain't just murdering, they're raping. So their crimes are way more extreme. I mean, a murder is a murder. This guy killed a 9-year-old boy, this Mexican. I have no good feelings about him. But at the same time, I'm not going to join them and make it sound like he's worse than them. Even though he did that, they're 50 times worse than him. No culture can catch up to them people. No way. Just one shot of Hiroshima, no culture can catch up to them for that genocide, for Nagasaki. Just those two deals right there. I don't even need to mention about the genocide of our people, but what if they were flying the American flag in Japan? What if Japan says, yeah, man, you know, fly the American flag? They do fly that flag in those military bases in Japan, in, you know, Okinawa and all that, Philippines, different places that American flag plants. You know, people don't like it, though. Other countries don't like it. And they don't like that British flag either. you know. And same with France. Now France is having a big riot going on right now because the cop killed a Arab or something over there, a young guy, young kid from over there. And even though he was born there in France, the cop killed him. And the cop got in front of the car, so when they told the kid to stop, but the kid put it in gear, the cop purposely stood in front. And when he moved forward, he blasted the kid and killed him. You know? I mean, that's like putting your foot in the door. Put your foot in the door, and someone shuts the door on your foot. And then you use that for an excuse to kill him. You know? Nobody needs to be murdered just because they don't want to obey another culture. That's why another culture shouldn't be putting their hands on people. But so they're having a riot there, and they're over saying, oh, it's just like George Floyd, rah, 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 you know. But when you kill a human, especially a human of culture, his culture is automatically supposed to defend him, whether he's right or whether he's wrong. You know, if they kill a Lakota, whether he's right or whether he's wrong, we're supposed to defend him. You know, we can spank him after the fact. But we don't just turn our people over to the white man like we do, you know. And nobody's supposed to do that. But we do, and they do. You know, the Major Crimes Act. Every time an Indian commits a major crime, what does your tribe do? Turns them over to the white man. It's not supposed to be that way, man. I mean, pure and simple. It's not supposed to be that way. So why is it that way? Well, it's never going to stop. Gun violence never going to stop. Alcoholism's never going to stop. All this bad stuff that goes on in life today is never going to stop until you get rid of one particular put on this earth to create mischief, you know? And that's what they do. And when somebody else does some mischief, those people don't like it. So look at it's the borders. Get rid of Biden, the borders, blaming the borders because a guy killed five Hondurans. They don't even care that it was five Hondurans because they hate the Hondurans too.
Yeah.
But it's their excuse to hate on somebody. But they sure don't run over there and try to lynch that guy who murdered his three boys, his little boys, you know?
Yeah.
His little boys. He made them stand up and just murdered them, you know? And just like that one called the Delphi murders, you know? A guy's named Richard Allen killing girls, you know? I mean, and all the murders they do, that race of people does, you know? But they can do what they want. But all I'm saying is quit blaming everybody else. Quit pointing at everybody else when they copycat what you do, you know? When our people use a gun, that's because we're using it because they gave us a gun. Now we got a gun too, you know? So now our kids are running around popping caps on people. I just wish they wouldn't pop caps on our own kind. I wish they would go elsewhere if they're going to pop caps. They know where it's supposed to be. But, you know, I don't promote violence on anybody else. But I do think that our people need to quit all this stuff, you know. And the only way we can do it, we got to help ourselves. We have to help ourselves. We can blame the Washichu all we want, because, and we're going to keep on doing that as long as they're here. And looks like they're here for good, because I don't see nobody doing nothing about getting rid of them, you know. So since they're here for good, us, you out there, you Apaches, you Navajos, you know, you Chippewas, you Pimas, you Pomos, you Yaquis, all you tribes, Aztecas, you know, Incas, all the tribes, you need to take care of your own kind and try to get them back into respecting our culture, respecting our way of life. Respect that eagle feather. Respect that staff. Respect that way of life, you know. Respect the sweat lodge. Respect the circle. Changleshkas, respect it, you know. I mean, there's a big circle in that, in Wyoming. Do you ever see it, Toshi? They have a big circle of rock in Wyoming. They call it Medicine Wheel.
Yeah, you know? I've been there.
And it's been there since way before the Washichu ever was around.
Yep.
So our way of life is fixed. It's fixed. It's there. So since it's there, why are we ignoring that? Since that's there, why are we going into a square church with a steeple on it? Why are we going in there? There's no circle in that Christianity. No circle in that Catholic. No circle in the Mormon. There's no circle in none of them. You know, but indigenous cultures acknowledge the circle. Even the Japanese have the sun. You know, they honor the sun circle, you know, and other cultures honor the moon. The circle, the round, you know. Tonight there's a full moon. I happened to look out the window and see it. I got kind of, you know, got turned into an animal for a second. I got to hold together here. But we got the circle. That moon is full tonight. Go out and look at it. Go out there and pray. Thank Wakantanka for honoring us with that moon, for honoring us with that bright planet up there, Jupiter, so bright, honoring us with the solar system. Go out there and pray when that sun comes up. Honor Wakantanka for these beautiful things that we have, that another culture is destroying. Like I said, that moon is sacred. What do the American do? He goes up there and shoots missiles or rockets into the moon purposely to crash in there to see what will happen. You guys there, you heard that, didn't you? I mean, how many of you heard that one? I know it wasn't only me, you know. You know, I know some of you think you're getting hairy right now. But anyway, you know, we kind of go back into having a little fun. The thing is, let's look out for ourselves. Let's teach our children, you know, let's honor our traditional ways, our culture. Take your kids out, you know, like I always see Philip with his son going out to nature, you know.
Yep, we went out today.
Fishing. Yeah, and yesterday, you know, we caught a big fish, so my baby girl and them, they were having fish for breakfast, you know, and fish last night, you know, and
heck yeah.
and we have to honor these things. We have to teach our kids this, you know, how the world, you know, is so into this modern movement, they don't even think of the kids, you know? Nobody takes their kids out and to be in nature. You know, they don't do that, you know? You know what the Washitu does for nature? They go skiing, and it ain't for nature. They fly all the way to Colorado, drive up in the mountains to ski down a hill, you know? They don't even thank Wakantanka for that hill. They do everything just for their own pleasure, their own fun, you know? And, you know, that's why those people got their submarine squashed up going down in the ocean last week, you know, because even one of them said the ocean can never be conquered. They got that right. You know, there's no way to conquer the ocean. You can destroy it, though, by making it funky. And the guys are doing pretty damn good at that, you know. I was watching one of these nature survival shows where they put people out on the island to survive. So they put these people out on the island way out in the ocean to survive. And while they were looking for things to survive, tools to survive, they found some bottles. They found plastic bottles. Yeah, so look what we got. So they're collecting water with a plastic bottle they found. And they were collecting plastic and stuff that was washed up on shore. And they were using this stuff so they could survive their 25 days or whatever on that island, you know.
Wow.
That's how funky it's getting when islands way out in the middle of the ocean are full of trash. You know, full of trash. That shows how much people trash the world. You know, I don't even think people realize
how plastic is made either. You know, they don't realize that that's the petroleum industry. You know, that's crude oil and stuff that is refined to make plastic. And they don't realize it, you know, these oil and gas companies, how much they're actually are part of destroying Unchimaka, you know.
You know, hey, Philip, did you remember about 2-3 months ago, they have a big dark blue hole in a island in the ocean down there, you know, and someplace down there off the coast of Mexico. So they went down there, these millionaires, Richard Branson and them, got a fancy sub. Well, it ain't deep like the ocean. They went down the bottom to see what was down there. They said down at the bottom was trash.
Oh, my God.
The bottom of that deep hole was full of plastic and trash.
Wow.
Human trash, you know?
Yeah, but you stop and think, you know, what's underneath that human trash? You know, what things,
yep.
You know, that things like that in nature were considered sacred areas. And who knows, just like the cenotes in Mexico, they may have actually put offerings down there that could be underneath all that garbage. I mean, they're finding a lot of things down in those cenotes, pottery and things like that that had offerings to the underworld. You never know.
You see,
you know, it is just ridiculous, though, that the amount of trash. You're absolutely right. And you know, I was looking The state of Ohio, the governor put a ban on releasing these Mylar balloons, or any balloons, actually. Well, they put a limit of 10. And you see all these people, you know, some guy gets shot by the cops or dies or something happens, somebody dies, and they memorialize them, and they release all these balloons. Well, here me and Lucas are out in the woods, you know, out in the Cleveland Metro Parks, and we're off of the trail. We're hunting, looking for different mushrooms and ramps and everything else. And here we're finding Mylar balloons, pieces of rubber balloons. And it's like, do you people not even think, you know, and the governor just signed this into law last year. Well, there was an event going on last weekend with some guy that's related to someone in the Native community, and we were pitching a fit about, you know, they were honoring this guy with a Chief Wahoo T-shirt, and it's like, so, yeah, and they claim to be Native, too. They claim Apache, but anyways, you know, I sent them the law for Toledo, Ohio, where they were having this. And they have an ordinance themselves about not releasing balloons, and that it's illegal to actually plan and coordinate the release of a large amount of balloons because of what it does to the environment. And, I mean, there's fishermen that are finding rubber balloons, pieces of rubber balloons inside the fish's guts. I mean, these people don't think. You know, don't you think there's a better way to honor somebody than to pollute the environment that you live in? It just doesn't make any sense to me to do something like that. But I guess to
you
these
know,
people, they don't give a shit because they don't have to live with the ramifications of it after they're dead.
You know, when we wake up in the morning, and I have a bro that's lives this way, and I really respect this bro. Every morning he gets up and he prays and goes up, and he always feeds his spirit. He's always got a spirit bowl. I mean, ever since I known this guy, I seen him doing this, and I really respect this guy. And I learned that from the minute you wake up, everything you do, it's not so difficult to try your best to seek in a spiritual way every second. You know, like people said, wonder why when I write, I put four, when I put a question mark, I put four question marks after every question. I put four exclamation marks. I've used four because it's a sacred number. So I keep my brain this, and people don't, why is he putting four question marks? You know, someone asked me, oh, you really must think that's important. You put so many question marks. I just try to condition my mind to remember our sacred numbers, 4, 7, 28, you know?
Right.
And like Tanshi always says, 405 spirits, you know? I always condition, and the number of stars around the sun, our number of planets, and the moons. You know, you have to, if you want to live spiritual, you know, I was cracking up. This guy said, yeah, we're going to go on a spiritual journey, me and my friend. And we're going to ride our motorcycles. We're going to start out in New York and go to California. And it's going to be a spiritual journey. We're going to go through Lakota country and honor your people. He said that. And really talking, I said, yeah, that's good. And he said, and his bro, he said, he's bringing his AK-47 and he's packing his gun. I said, so why'd you tell me that for? I thought you said you're going to go on a spiritual journey. I said, you're going to go on a spiritual journey. you can't ruin it by doing something unspiritual to do it.
Yeah.
You know, wow, I don't want to get robbed or nothing. I said, how's an AK-47 going to save you from getting robbed? You know, you see, the point is this. And one time I put this, one time I got in a situation where I hate to mention this on the radio, but I put my knife in the dirt. I put my knife back in the dirt. I pulled it out to defend myself. But the spirits made me put it back. So what I tell people is this. You have to learn to live without all that. I've been all over this world, and there's no way I can get on an airplane packing a gun. So when I showed up to different countries, I didn't have a gun. I was nothing else. So how do I get by when I survive like that? I get by with respect and honor. But when people carry a gun and carry a weapon,
yep,
they run around all huffy. I got a gun. Don't fuck with me. Oh, I got a gun. You know. If someone mess with me, I'm, you know. But the minute that punk don't have a gun, he's a punk. Learn how to live without this stuff, and you don't have to be no punk. You don't have to be no coward. The most influential men I ever knew in my life were men that never carried a weapon. They were men that were so kind and generous and so full of wisdom that nobody wanted to hurt them.
Well, see, that's where that's their weapon itself, their spirituality and their intelligence. That's a weapon in itself. You don't have to have
it. We don't call it a weapon. We call it a gift.
Exactly.
You know? And when you have that kind of gift, it spreads more better than violence. Because when I met these men, and I met a lot of them. I mean, not millions, but I met, for my lifetime, I met some really decent people that lived in good ways, you know? And I'm going to tell you the truth. There was a time when I was young, and my brother probably will, they'll laugh and talk about it. All I know is he left with a gun and a pack of bullets, and that's the last time we seen him. You know?
Wow.
And that was the truth, you know, because I was living like that because I thought I had to live that way. And I thought, you know, this is the way to do it. I'm a gangster, man, you know, rah, rah, rah. But I found out when you live this way, your life is unpredictable. Your life is like the way the earth is right now. Don't know which way to tilt. It's running on one lug nut. You're spinning off course. And that ain't no way to live. If you want to live in a good way, you stay in your circle, you know? You stay within the perimeters of your abilities. You don't enhance your abilities with a weapon. You don't enhance your abilities with mazaska. You don't enhance your abilities with anything evil. You learn to have the abilities you have and make life work for you in that circle and never leave that circle, you know? So even when I traveled afar and was out, and my brain was still in that circle. So even though I was way out there where nobody could see me, I didn't want to say, oh, man, no one can see me now, so I'm going to go screw around, you know? Well, I never had the need to screw around, so I didn't worry about it. I never had the urge to just go get drunk or go use drugs or go look for sex or something any place. I stayed in my circle. Even though I was by myself and away from home, I was still in my circle, you know. But people live right in their home. They think they're in their circle, but they're breaking all the rules right there in their circle. And you can tell them, hey, man, and warn them, you know. But, you know, we have a perimeter, a circle that we live in. And that's your family, your life, and your good nature, your prayers, your respect, and your loyalty to the Creator for all that He gave us. I would never think of shooting a rocket into the moon. I don't even spit. You know? I don't walk around and spit on the ground to look tough. I got mad at Sundance when I seen people spitting on the ground. That's sacred ground. Spitting on mom, spitting on Unchi. That's how I see it. I'm not a good man. I'm not no perfect man, but I tell you what, I try every day to live this way. Even with the most simple things like thinking of the sacred numbers, the number 4. So I put 4 question marks, 4 exclamation points. You know, I use the number 4s, the number 7s, and these sacred numbers. The number 28, you know, that's what the moon goes around by. You know, sacred numbers,
yep.
the buffalo ribs, the women lived this way in their time, you know. But people can't even wake up, you know. So the American shows up, what he does, he lives like trash all week, so he says, wow. It's like this hoss-up of this black guy's fighting a murder beef in Florida, some rapper, showed up in court with a suit on and his hairdo standing up with a bunch of different weird-looking braids, looks like some kind of cactus or something, you know. And he's going to court, and his attorney saying, Your Honor, if you let him out, he wants to start going to church. He wants to go to school. He wants to go to rehabs. He wants to get a job. He's saying all this stuff. And I was thinking, this guy don't even know how to do that now. You know?
Yeah.
He don't even know how to do that now. Why is he asking to do this? You know? You know? You have to live it now. I'm free right now. I live this way. If you're free, live that way when you're free, not when you're locked up, not when you're sitting heartbroken, not when you're broken and some other reason. Live it now, today, right now, you know? You know? Like I said, I'm not no perfect guy by a long shot, but the little things that I do, I do it all the time. It's like my bro, I said, every morning he prays and he always feeds the spirits. Ever since I knew him, when we got out of prison, he used to go down to the store and get kidneys and stuff and go up in the Black Hills. I'd go with them. We'd walk up their way to the top. Sometime it took us hours to get up there, you know. And we'd get up there, and he would pray and sing and feed the spirits. He always did this. And he still lives that way today. It wasn't just a show he was putting on. He wasn't putting on a show. He just does this. He just lives this way, you know? And he's like anybody else. He can freak out and probably might hurt somebody, but he tries hard not to live that way, you know? But you never know what can happen. So to avoid things from happening, you have to live it. That's why I was so happy this man I'm talking about, this bro, relative, he's the one got me into the spiritual path I'm on, because how could I not do it when he was doing this all the time? And next thing you know, I was in that circle that he pulled me into, helped pull me into, you know, same one, Tashi Vimber and my brother and all of us, the same thing. We're in that circle, and we all got pulled in it. My brother got pulled in it. I got pulled in it, you know, and anybody can get pulled in it, but the only way you're going to get pulled in it is if you have the mind to think spiritual. You can be a criminal. You can be the worst guy on earth. But if you wake up and say, you know what, I don't want to hurt my mother. I don't want her to feel bad for me. I don't want Wakantanka to see me doing this. I don't want the spirits to catch me like this, you know? So we try very hard every day to live in a good way. And one, you know, these men that come on the show, Vember, my brother, Larry, that's sitting there with them, these guys are some of the best men I ever knew in my life, beside my father and my grandpas and a lot of them. But these are people that are living right now that I look up to and I honor, because they're just good people. They live in a good way. They're not going to leave you starving someplace. They can feel your pain when you're not right, and they will help you, you know? And
yep.
People like that exist. But how do you have people like that? You're only going to have people like that if you're trying your best to be like that, you know? If you don't, you're not going to never know anybody like that. There's so many gifts out there and privileges that man will never see because he don't live like that. That's why the white man never sees the spirits. So he don't believe what he don't. You know what cracks me up about the Washichu?
What's that?
He don't believe in miracles. But yet he's here, and that's a damn miracle. You know, that's a damn miracle. It's like a joke I heard. Some guy said, I'm so sacred. I can envision a human. I can make a human just by envisioning it, by thinking about it. I can make this vision appear. He can make a human, he said. I said, damn, I made about 20 of them, you know?
Wow.
Without thinking. I made 20 babies, you know, with my eyes closed. Making a face, you know?
You know, I didn't
know
even
I
envision
mean?
It and made them.
Yeah, you know? Shit. That's what I'm saying. They don't believe in miracles. It's like Crow Dog said. If you don't believe in a miracle, there ain't going to be no miracle. But the miracle is right in front of you. How did you come here? Your mom is a miracle. Your children are miracles, and you don't believe in that? Believe in that, you know? You don't believe that something can happen? They say that's why a white man thinks that he hears us talking about Nombletra, or they call it vision quest. So he wants to see a vision, so he goes up on the hill for 4 days, comes down all disappointed because he didn't see nothing. So to him, we're liars.
Yeah.
But he's not privileged. He's not privileged to see something.
But we all know, too, that you don't always get the answer at the time of, you know, of the vision quest. Sometimes it comes after, you know.
Yep.
To me, it's, you know, those messages from spirit, they come when spirit's ready to answer them. That's how I was taught.
No, you don't need to be taught that. That's reality. You can learn that with nobody teaching you, just from being that way. You can want something to happen, and it don't happen, and all of a sudden, wow. Because I had so many experiences and had to do so things when I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. I said, how can I make this happen when I can't, you know? But it happened, you know? You know, you have to wake up every day feeling the respect of all these gifts that Wakan Tonka gave us.
Yeah.
You know? Start out every day by not spitting on the ground, you know? I mean, Tonshi was talking about Harley Davidson wanting to patent their sound, you know. That wiped out the idea of trying to patent my fart sound. I have a unique one. There wasn't no one copying it. You know, but we have to think and appreciate our own uniqueness for sale. It's not for exploitation, you know. Every gift you have is for, you know, God gave us so many gifts, you know. They always say me and my brothers look alike. But when we look at each other, we say, damn, I ain't that ugly, you know. You know, but you know, because we see, you know, because we see our own uniqueness. But people can look at me and my brothers and say, man, you guys, I didn't know which one of you guys was. You know, some guy came over to my house last week and walked up to me, said, hey, are you Fred? He didn't know my brother's been gone off this earth for years, but he just didn't, you know, he didn't know. And he looked up and he thought I was my brother, you know, and, you know, sometimes I see another Lakota, and I think it's his brother. But when you see them together, they don't look like each other. But, you know, like me and my brother Larry or me and my brother Freddie, we all looked alike. When you seen us, you knew we was brothers, you know. And people are like that, but you have your own uniqueness, your own thing about you, And these are gifts. These are things to respect. And these things are meant to be loyal to respect. Don't destroy what God gave you by going out doing something stupid, you know? Like, I mean, shit, I've been on wanted posters. You know? You know? I said, damn, what? You know?
Going
on that disrespect.
Right? AK. Yeah.
Really, crazy. This guy said that. I said, you know what? Well, you tell that guy don't show up to my res, because if we see him showing up with a AK-47,
yep,
he might get that shoved up his ass. Hate to talk like that on the radio, but, you know? And, you know, don't come showing off these things.
Yep.
If you're going to go to another person's homeland, go there with respect and honor.
Yep.
Don't go there with weapons. Don't go there with drugs and alcohol. Don't go there with all this, you know, showing off that you're a tough guy. You know, go with humbleness, you know, and you will live a longer life. You know, these young guys, this guy might think he's old because he's 40 years old, wanting to go on a spiritual journey with a gun. 40 years old, he's probably going to be dead when he's 45. He just don't know it yet. He probably ain't going to be around when, you know. If I ain't around 5 years from now, I deserve that because I'm in line, you know. I'm in the honor line, you know. I'm ready to, all of us, me and my brothers and us, you know. We know what we already been through all the things in life, and we're still here. And that's why Tanshi Rimber is here to share his way with you. And I share mine, and my brother shares his. You know, sometimes you don't hear him talk, but he is talking. Sometimes you hear us repeating what he says.
Yeah.
And these are brilliant, brilliant people, you know?
Brilliant.
I mean, yeah, and that's why the Washita don't like us, you know?
We see the truth.
Yeah.
We know the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you could only keep them. You know, Larry's the one man. They don't even know that.
Yeah. That's why I say, hey, bro, how come as I tell Larry, how come I'm always doing this, Larry? He says, because you're a knothead. I said, oh, okay. You know,
telling him
he's the only
truth.
One to tell me that too. You know, when I don't understand why I'm doing something, you know, but he says that's because you're a knothead, you know, and a lot of times he told me in the past when I was young, don't do that, you know.
Yep.
I'm way up on a tree hanging off on a real thin limb. He said, don't do that. How come? What you talking about? Then a while later, I'm on the ground knocked down because I fell off the tree and my knee busted my nose, you know. I told him not to go up there.
Not him,
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah. I remember one time I was cutting school. I was playing hooky. I was at the playground playing hooky, and here comes my brother past. Seen me over there. Just shook his head. Because he knew at the end of the day I was going to be getting an ass kicking. Again, and sure enough, there I was. Yeah.
Have fun now.
You enjoy yourself now.
Yeah. At the end of the day, there I was standing in front of the class with the nuns walking around me with yarn as they walk. They walking around me in a circle. Each one had a roll of yarn. So as they were punishing me, they were talking about how bad guy I was in front of the class. And while they were walking around, they had yarn. The next thing, I was a mummy. I just had little slits in my mouth to breathe. And I was a one big yarn bundle in front of the class. And they kept putting the yarn on me. You know, those Catholic nuns, you know?
Man.
And they
used to do that.
Yeah, they could think of, them nuns could think up some good ways to punish a person.
Heck yeah.
You know?
They were there, man. When it came to torture, they were number one.
The only thing you really kneeling on the pencil.
Yeah. Holy Christ, that hurt.
Yeah.
Kneel on the pencil.
Kneel on the pencil. That's how my knees are still that dense in the
My brother's knees look like pencil holders, you know?
Indentations, you know?
Yeah. When he's busy, he don't lose his pen, he just slaps a pin right in there, fits right in, you know, a pencil, right in the pencil holders he got. Yeah, we were abused, man, let me tell you. We got some mean scars that we walked with, you know. Pencil holder knees, you know, only one beautiful leg left. You know, even a butt cheek tore up from bike wreck, from falling off the seat with no fender. You know. Yeah. Sit still back there, boom, slip off the, going down a hill, riding in the back with your foot on the axle post of the back wheel and then slip off. And there's no fender. Whip. And you know what went underneath that frame?
Oh,
that bike frame. Ooh. Shit, that bike, those wheels are smoking with the jewels to stopping, you know. You know, we go through hell, but them nuns, I tell you what, them nuns were something else. I remember they had this red strap with chrome rings. It was red strap with five little straps connected to it. And each one had a chrome ring at the end of it. And they had me in the front of the class with my pants legs above my knees, hitting me in the shins with that strap. And I remember I'm like, what, 5, 6 years old? Can you imagine 6 years old getting beat like that? You know,
wow.
Getting beat like that at 6 years old, because that's how old I was when I was there. Because after that, my mom and they took us and moved us out of there. So we were young when we were going through that, you know. And the other thing, they make you stand against the wall where you play. Remember, they have they play. Yeah. That ball where they throw the ball against the wall.
Yep.
and they make you stand on the wall and make the class throw the ball against the wall to play the game while you're up there, and you have to be dodging this ball, you know?
Oh, God.
You have to be, yeah, you have to be dodging this ball. Yeah, so that's how come me and my brother know how to dodge so good, you know? Yeah, yeah. Going to Catholic school, you know. And my brother was in Catholic school longer than me.
You know, Tunchy,
so
this
I can
is
imagine.
You know.
Yeah.
This is the time of the year that I go home. So next Saturday, I'll probably be back over there. Back home.
Oh, okay.
Start taking care of business, but I'll see if I could get on with you guys from over there or something. I'll be here.
Yeah, I hope to see you. Maybe me and you can slip out to the cornfield.
Yeah, I'll really like that.
Make them corn stalks wiggle out there.
Shake, man. We're gonna go to the maize field.
I was trying to call my brother up and he didn't answer the phone. So then I said, well, I'm gonna call Tarshi up. So I kept calling. For some reason, none of you guys are answering the phone, and I said, oh, they're probably out in the cornfield. If both of them ain't answering the phone, that means they're together, and then corn stalks are just whipping around in the middle out there.
They're inspecting the middle of the cornfield.
Yeah.
The maize field.
Yeah.
But yeah,
really,
probably
out in the out in the middle of the cornfield, there's somebody talking Lakota out there. Oh, Lilo Washe. Oh, Atatanka. Oh, mitas kuya. You know?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, this is the time of year. I gotta head home. So that's something I gotta do. But I'll see if we get on from over there. If I got reception.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but I'll probably
stay in touch. And you guys, I sure hope so, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys, Wayne been kind of quiet. Wayne, you got 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, good show, man. Awesome.
Anything.
See you next week.
Yeah. Well, you guys behave yourself out there, you know. And remember, stay in the circle, within the perimeters of your abilities. Don't leave that circle. Stay there, and you'll be protected. You'll have protection, you know. And when you wake up, think of Wakantanka, the spirits, and your ancestors. We owe our ancestors for what they fought for us. We have pride. We have this pride that they gave us. If they didn't have pride, we wouldn't have it. If they weren't powerful, we wouldn't have nothing to live for. You know, they gave us this, the right to be proud, you know, and they gave it. They showed us a way to live. And that's why, just like Tosh, he said he's going to be coming this way. He's living that way. That's why he's coming, you know, this way. And he's going to, you know. And so anyway, you know, we're getting down to that time. So if you got any last minute, last word, Philip, now's time to say it.
It was a really great show. Glad I was here to listen in and take in what was being said. I hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, and I hope that people out there listening keep in mind that we need to preserve our culture. That's the most important thing. We can't fight the violence they give. We can't fight their gun violence, their abuse, their drugs and alcohol. We can't fight that. But we can sure control and try to preserve what we got and teach our children, our little ones, you know, about this way of life we have, this beautiful way of life we have, you know. So think of that, Toshi. My, that's a good. And for you, you could take over.
Oh, we'll say a prayer and we'll close down the show here. But,
And for you out there, Wayne, and you guys that listen, our listeners out there, Tahashi pray. He says some real special words. Pick them out when he talks about Wakayansha, our children. And you know, when he says, Uchilakapo, and we chose on thee, and all these really special words in the language that he's praying for our people, the Oyate, the, you know, our relatives. So pick those words out and feel them when he says them. When you hear them and pick them out, you can feel them, and you can hear them, and you understand that our prayers are for mankind, for all our relatives, all things that Wakantanka made, the lions, even the alligators, the sharks, the fish, everything, the trees, the cactus, everything that's out there, the rocks, he's praised for, and we have to appreciate it. So do your best out there to walk in a clean, honorable, respectful way, and you don't need to be packing weapons. With that, we're gonna go, and you have a good doshake.
Doksha, okay.
You know, your son should I at all.
I'll bring you home again. Io ho un vecchio, in un altro soffetto, così, io schiavo anche se la cocktail.